from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. But Carter got the best vacation schedule in the whole daggone building.
Oh, no, man.
Replaces Ryan and doesn't even come in.
Yeah, no, his car's off today.
Boy, that was one of our, we'll do more at 9:20, but that was one of our notes we got in the feedback, Sean. Somebody said, y'all need to find another Ryan. You can tell how great he was now that he's gone.
The official morning show survey coming up at 9:20. The good and the bad feedback on 5:30 to 10 a.m. from the Tolos right here on DFW Sports Station. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys Insider Bobby Bell, and Pepe in the back. We'll crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece at 9:40. But what's going on with the British Open? Shane Lowry back to -7, and everyone getting ready to wave bye-bye to Tiger.
You take this one, Chop.
Yeah, I'll take this one, Robert. Shane with a 200 par day, 69.
Nice.
For the day. He is back to 7-under par after he had that double bogey on 11. But Shane is back to 7-under with a 2-stroke lead over Daniel Brown, who was 1-over through 12. It's a pretty decent leaderboard in the top 20. All these guys are, you know, 1-over or better. And at this course, I mean, everybody is kind of in contention there. So at 1-over, Dustin Johnson, Colin Morikawa, Brooks Koepka, Tony Finau at even par, Xander Schauffele -1. At -3, you got Scottie Scheffler, so he's 4 back, Justin Rose, Billy Horschel, Jason Day, all around there.
Is an announcer about to be fired for what he said about Tiger Woods? This is Mark Rowe on Sky Sports observing Tiger struggling at the Open.
Uneven ground. And you look at the eyes, you've got to think that there's quite a lot of painkillers being taken to cope with the pain, you know? Not easy.
You look at the eyes. That's the best audio we could find of that,
that's
by
it.
The way.
That's it.
You look at the eyes. I can't blame Pepe, though. He was dealing with the outage at 4 a.m. And you'd have to think there's a lot of painkillers being taken. And as you'd expect, I had the reaction of, whoa, what is this guy doing?
Yeah, so I found this to be interesting because, like, I took it.
Man, Choppy's taken over the interesting mantle from Bobby, the crutch word.
Yeah, he's saying that there's no doubt with the injuries he's had that, you know, he has to manage the pain with painkillers. The internet is saying that, like,
was there more to this comment, like context of before and after in the sentence?
Yeah, because if you listen to the very beginning, and you get ready to play it again, like listen to the very beginning, you can kind of tell what got him onto this subject.
Uneven ground, and you look at the eyes, you've got to think that there's quite a lot of painkillers being taken to cope with the pain, you know? Not easy.
So he said uneven ground, right? Which is like it's a little hilly, and you know it's obviously his issues have been with his leg, He's like, I've got half a leg. He's got one working leg. And, you know, it's obvious that just to get through 18 is very, very painful to him. And people took it as like, you know, they were saying that Tiger looked under the influence, letting him, where I just didn't see it. I thought it was clear that he was talking about with the injuries Tiger has. He's on pain medicine, and you can see it like in his eyes that he's in a lot of pain.
Is he saying you can see the pain in the eyes or the painkillers in the eyes?
Like here's the only
let me just go on the record, because I know you were very passionate about this last night, Choppy. I think this is a mistake. I think he probably has to and needs to like address it on Twitter. You cannot suggest that he's taking painkillers, especially with Tiger's background.
Well, yeah, because Tiger has a background with pain pills and pills in general that he's done.
Yeah, I don't think you can suggest pill usage as a broadcaster.
You can't. I want to go where Choppy's going.
I don't think the guy's intent was to call Tiger a druggie.
And I think that the internet is saying that, like, you know, he's calling Tiger out he's popping pills.
No, I think he sounds like he's trying to be sympathetic. I just don't think he can say that.
No,
I don't think he should be fired. But I that's a no-no. If I'm the head of the network, Sky Sports, whatever it is, I'm like, tweet out an apology.
I want to believe that it's and I was trying to come to the side when I was just listening to it of. He's talking about, clearly he's in pain. You can see it in his eyes, like wincing type of thing. I wanted to believe that was it. The only problem here is that typically I would think you'd say you'd see it on their face.
Yeah.
If you isolate it to just the eyes, I don't know that I can see pain alone in someone's eyes. I see it in their face.
Unless they're about to cry.
I can see glassy eyes.
Yeah.
I can see those.
Yep.
And I can make a lot of determinations about. So that's the only problem, is that him saying eyes is just like, all right, I want to think that he's trying to cover it, and I do agree with you. I think he's trying to be sympathetic,
yeah,
but it sounds really bad.
Broadcasters are even afraid to suggest that someone's going to go like Luka and get an injection, a pain-killing injection. I remember Malika Andrews asking Luka about that during the finals. I think he went overboard a little bit. Now, if he was trying to make a joke, and he was trying to be rude, which it didn't sound like he was, then I think you could have grounds for firing. But this, I'm like, acknowledge it. Let's backtrack it. I don't think it's absolutely nothing.
You could say something. You don't have to use the, and goodness, if you're talking for that long, it's easy to probably slip up and say things in an inartful way at times.
Yeah, like I said earlier this week when you talked about me stuttering.
But
when you talked as long as I have to.
But the part where he says you got to think there's a lot of painkillers in him, it's like you could just say,
yeah,
he's probably having to manage the pain
management.
Just call it. And he just got a little lazy with it. And
because, like, so just one text, like speculating about Tiger's drug addiction. Yeah, I didn't think he was that. I think that that's just the wrong way to take it.
I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to say that he shouldn't have said anything about, like, you know, the way his eyes looked or that he's on pain pills in general.
Yeah.
And just say you could tell how much pain, you could see in his eyes how much pain he's in. But I think you really got to reach to draw the conclusion that he was speculating that Tiger is addicted to pain pills.
Not that he was abusing them, but that he was actively affected by them on the course is what I think. I think he did insinuate that.
Just don't talk about someone using painkillers in general. It's not a difficult rule. Like, if you're broadcasting and like this person is on pills, you can't do that.
Is that just a linguistics thing, though? Or is that just like the words we're choosing to use? Because I feel like we all have said something to the effect of, yeah, they're probably going to shoot that up and he's going to get out there to play. Like, I feel we've said that. Is that
we just can do it. I don't think you can do it as the play-by-play voice.
I feel like I don't know that I have heard him say it. I feel like I could see Aikman saying something like, yeah, you know, you're probably just going to get that thing shot up and get back out there.
Yeah. That's what I was kind of referring to a little bit earlier. So is there a difference there? That's a good question. Is there a difference if you refer to going in the back and getting your varsity blues shot versus painkillers?
It's the history.
There's less of a stigma with the shot.
It's the history. You're right.
Yeah.
If he says that about, I'll throw out what's a golfer's name? Give me one, Chop.
Phil Mickelson.
Phil Mickelson. Probably not a good one because he also has had addiction issues. Give me another
John
one.
Daly.
Damn it.
Dustin Johnson.
Let's say
Come on.
Bernard Langer. If he's out there, right? And they were to say, he's probably on pain pills and he's in a lot. If he says, I don't think anybody bats at it because they're thinking that's not even an issue for him. You're suggesting, it's like saying if there was an alcoholic out there and be like, well, you got to think he's probably had a drink or two. It just, it sounds bad.
Swing. I know you swing.
Who quit?
This is a guy I've not really ever heard of, but this is a, trying to find his name now. I don't even know his name, honestly.
You sent the story.
Yeah, I know. I have
and
no
idea. And I teased
idea.
It.
Yeah, I know. I have no idea.
We got the Peyton Russell checkout.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really a checkout. It kind of is. No, it's not.
What are you distracted by?
I was just watching the call.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you want me to do the story? Do you want me to go find it? Do you want me to go find your story?
No, I got it right here. I got it right here. His name is...
Robert Paulson.
No, Romain Langasque.
Okay.
All right. He's a French golfer. So he was on like the eighth hole, and he had already had a pretty bad round. He had already had a pretty bad round at this point. And he had a little bit of a meltdown, and he skulls his... second shot, goes way over the green into a bunker, hit it very, very thin, and now he walks up to his two playing partners and is like, guys, I'm out of here. Now, he said he had a bad back. You could see him read his, you could read his lips, and it said he had a bad back, that he hurt his back. I have no idea. Maybe, you know, and if he did have a bad back.
Could have popped some pills.
Could have popped some pills. But if he did have a bad back, I got a big problem with this, because if he had a bad back going into this, that's a spot that somebody else could have taken. If you had a bad back to the point where you don't think you're going to be able to complete this thing, and you're just like 30%, I can get through it. I mean, take your injury, get your injury excuse, get into next year's event, because they'll allow you to take that the next year, and let somebody who actually has a chance to compete in this thing play. Now, short of that, maybe he got hurt on the course and didn't know it, and didn't know going in that he had a bad back, but apparently this guy's had a little bit of a back issue. But I've never heard of the golfer, but like, yeah, he had to call it in the eighth hole.
Okay, but for injury. But for injury.
Well, he says injury.
Last time we talked about a story publicly like this, and I'm not suggesting this, but that's where my mind first went, is what happened in Fort Worth, that awful suicide story.
Yes.
Where the guy just bailed.
Absolutely.
But this is injury.
This is an injury. Yeah. This is an injury. At least that's what he says, it's an injury.
Tiger saying he couldn't sleep a few nights ago after the Trump assassination attempt. I read that and I was like, "Ooh, that's gonna get some criticism from people out there." If Tiger's implying I was so distraught, I could not get sleep myself because of what almost happened to my president.
I mean, there's already an article out there. You know, Alexi Lalas.
Oh yeah,
the soccer analyst. He was at the convention. And there are newspaper articles and columnists calling for Fox to fire him for being at the event.
Why?
Because they don't like that he's at the event. And there's like columnists out, Deadspin and such, calling for him to be fired.
Deadspin.
Oh, Deadspin's calling for somebody to be fired. You're kidding. They have such high standards.
I have not heard Tiger answer. I haven't heard him meet the media about this particular comment that he made.
He can't, according to Mark Rowe.
He obviously made it. Have to meet with the media, but you know, he's played golf with the president before, said he couldn't sleep.
Maybe Tiger will be buying the assassination shoes.
Dude, there's a lot of things we can say politically, and we're not going to generally.
We have been recently.
I think we've just talked about it generally, though.
I love the way we cover it.
This is you got to give Trump credit for one thing. He moves merch.
Many people are talking about the Halloween costume of the bandage of the ear? And did you see how many people in the crowd yesterday had the bandage of the, they're calling the new 50 Cent Band-Aid.
The new. there was a, you saw so many people wearing that thing.
So he's the king of the political merch game. Always has been. Moved millions of those Make America Great Again hats, which I'll be honest, first time I saw that thing, I was like, no one's going to wear
it. It's a hideous hat.
No one's going to wear it.
It's my dad's fitting style hat.
It looks
like everyone's old dad fitting style hat. It's
It's awful.
It looked like it was designed by the same person who did those Indiana Fever uniforms that they were wearing. It's the Dallas Wings.
I'm not even offended by the lettering, the font. I'm offended by the fit.
The fit and the rope.
Yeah. What do you mean you don't like it? Look how we wear our hats. Yeah. Look at the hats that we wear. Yeah. It's not that big.
It doesn't have
boaters
a big front,
hat. Yeah.
And it's got the rope across the front.
The rope is in style now. The rope is in style.
Because he brought it back because he moves merch, Chop. That's why it's in style. Now he's got his shoes, his assassination shoes. Oh, for $300, you can buy a pair of sneakers. And these are being sold on a website that is owned by Donald Trump. You can buy a pair of sneakers with the image of Trump and the bloody ear holding up the fist on the heel there. $300. So cheaper than the Lonzo Ball shoes.
I bet they're sold out already.
These are the fastest shoes you're ever going to put on.
The ear bleeds the most.
When I put these on, they say, Donald, you're so fast.
The ear bleeds the most.
The white high tops are being sold as fight high tops for $299 on a website that sells Trump-branded shoes that is run by CIC Ventures, a company that Trump reported owning in his 2023 financial disclosure. I think he's missing an opportunity to call them just fight tops.
And if you missed last night, I thought the worst part was the part I was the most excited for. I was so bored. I conked out. 90-minute speech from Trump. But beforehand, the chaos of Dana White, Kid Rock, and the Hulkster.
When they took a shot at my hero, and they tried to kill the next president of the United States, enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
And by the way, everyone, even on CNN, is saying by Monday, they expect Biden to bow out, that his donors have said, we're not giving you another dime. Pelosi's getting involved. She's not just stock trading. She's getting involved.
Careful. Trying to talk. Careful, Sean.
The former president, President Obama, is now. And that, to me, like, that's the one.
These networks are not doing a good enough job, though, of talking about who would step in for him.
Yeah,
who would fill
nothing.
In. They're saying nothing about it. I want to know who would be the replacement, and would the replacement have a better or worse shot than Biden?
That is 1,000%.
It's driving me crazy. I'm like, talk about the options.
Yeah, the entire aspect of will he or will he not drop out, to me, should hinge on who the replacement is.
Hasn't it been Newsom? Hasn't that been the buzz?
That was speculation. Kamala?
Yeah, there was speculation of Newsom, but, I mean, is that going to play with middle America? I mean, who knows? But the point is that, you know, the moment he lost President Obama, that may have been it for him. Like, because it's still his party for the most part. And if he had his backing, I think he could have stayed on.
What do Tolos really think of the morning show? The Sean and RJ Tolo survey is next on 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Crosstalk with a KNC Masterpiece at 940. Rangers back in action tonight against the Orioles. 6:30 pregame. If you missed Jared Sandler getting you set for the second half of the baseball season, 105.3thefan.com. Odyssey with the rewind, 720 Expressway in PayPay. Just let me know. Josh Abbott ticket giveaway.
Well,
next week at 7:20. Take it away.
So, yeah, he's good. We saw him.
No. Take it away with what you did in the commercial break.
Oh, yeah.
She likes Texas. She likes me.
We saw him around Christmas time. Maybe earlier in the spring. And we're at Marty B's. He was pretty good. Got quite a bit of songs.
Josh Abbott band tickets next week, 7:20 Expressway. Brian brought us, rudely interrupted, at 6:40 this morning in studio when we were trying to go through the results of our second annual Sean, RJ, and Bobby Morning Show Survey.
Yep, and so this is where we've got a lot of different ideas last year out of this. This is where the payload came from, was from people saying, we need more Peyton, Peyton's funny. So Peyton, you're every bit of shine you get when you walk into a casino and somebody's like, "Oh, Peyton."
Yeah.
It comes from this survey from last year. A couple different changes on how we do stuff in the expressway. So we actually do take this as a sort of performance review, or some of your suggestions. We want to take these into account, and if there's a consensus line out here, we like to kick them around and take a look at them. Also, it's good to see some of the jabs you guys throw in there, some of the zingers. There are some good ones. Like I particularly under what don't you like or about the show, what's your least favorite thing about the show? My favorite comment that I saw in there was, when Bobby doesn't take his meds and is all over the place, I have an ADHD kid, makes my brain hurt when they talk fast, don't finish words or thoughts. So you got a little bit of that. Least favorite thing about the show, another answer, just said WNBA and Bobby, which seems to be like, he must struggle when I'm talking during those segments.
Yeah.
Like there's got to be a little bit of a...
Bobby's anti...
There's got to be a little bit of a disconnect.
Wow.
The fact that nobody's taught me how to dress yet is what somebody said. They said, dude, lose the hoodies. They're there all year long.
Yeah. But again, Sean's been wearing hoodies in the summertime all these years.
I had a t-shirt yesterday, and I was a little bit chilly in here.
Yeah, it's cold. Like, my hands are cold right now. Like, it does get chilly in here.
Like, when I go out of studio, the difference with Bobby and I, when we're out of studio, like at a firehouse, I'm wearing t-shirt and shorts.
Right.
It's 100 degrees. It's nice and cold in here.
Yeah. Bobby wears hoodies.
And I have way more hoodies. This has been the case for a while. I need to go t-shirt shopping. Like, I have way more hoodies. I think when Christmas comes around and people are trying to figure out what to get me, and it's cold outside, so they're like hoodies. I don't have summer shopping or summer occasion, and T-shirts to me are so much tougher to find. You've been a T-shirt connoisseur for a while. So much tougher to find comfortable T-shirts that I love versus hoodies.
Yeah.
All hoodies are great, basically, to me.
The moment...
T-shirts to me are a pain in the ass. So it's comfort. It's ease.
Right.
It's cold in here. Those are my factors.
T-shirts are difficult because you got to find the right style. And the moment you find like the right brand or style, then like you navigate to that one. Because it's like they, one may fit your shoulders right, but doesn't fit your chest right. Yes. Doesn't fit your stomach right. Doesn't fit your arms right. It's very rare that you can get one that fits them all well.
Yeah. It sucks.
So one of the...
Like I really like the fit of like the Palmer's chicken T-shirts that Palmer gave us.
Yeah.
I also like when he gave us food actually the first time.
Yeah.
But the T-shirts, I love those. If I could get every T-shirt like that, I wear nothing but T-shirts.
Yeah. That's the fit style is the big pain in the ass for me. And that's why I'm just like, I don't want to like guess. Cause there've been too many times I bought a shirt that was like, oh, I like this. And I'm like, oh no, I don't like the actual fit. And I wasn't going to throw this on.
And your armpit stains are a huge problem.
There's that too. Yeah. Probably cause I wear hoodies all the time.
Get our boys over at Bogey Bros. Get us some T-shirts.
There we go. We asked about your favorite segment. And by the way, when we go favorite segment and then we go to least favorite segment, there is going to be, just know that there were more than double the answers for favorite segment. So the least favorite segment is a smaller sample size, so we're just saying that in advance so Peyton doesn't get his feelings hurt. But on the favorite segment, if somebody listed three segments and said, these are all the ones that I love, all three of those would get counted as a vote. So these percentages won't add up to, it'll add up to maybe more than 100% when we go down it. But the favorite segment on the station, or on the show, Station 2, Ask Reddit. 47% of the people who responded to our survey at the time of this counting yesterday said Ask Reddit was their favorite, but...
Now... Let me ask a radio programming question. This is the purpose of this. Is that something to where you make Ask Reddit every day or it loses its luster by just keeping it once a week?
I think that's an oversaturation
thing. That's a great question. It's one of those things that you really don't know until you don't find out until you try it.
Yeah. These are the things we talk about behind the scenes, y'all, just in case you're wondering. We would sit in a meeting and go, all right, do we need to make Ask Reddit every day? Tuesday, Friday, or just keep it once, and that makes it, you know, feel more important.
You could maybe, like, do you find when you're looking that there's a shortage of these questions?
Right. How many do we leave on the table?
I mean, I just love, once I get eight or so, I stop, and we don't even get through all eight, and I just stop looking once I get to eight. But I mean, there are probably each week 50 different questions on that forum that have minimum 6,000 replies on them.
I mean, we could replace the junk drawer with another Ask Reddit on Friday, just a thought.
Junk drawer did get 7% as their favorite segment. But right behind Ask Reddit, the clear number two favorite segment, according to these replies, at 24%, is the payload.
Oh! All right. His last segment of the week.
Oh, that makes me feel so much better, for now, at least.
Yes, for now. But this is why you can't just use percentages necessarily. We're going to have to go to the actual details of... I'd love to make it look like your segment is trash, but...
Alec? 24%.
This is clearly...
Hey, by the way, Alec Medford, great job cutting up Stephen Jones stuff. Well done in the commercial break.
Yeah, Peyton couldn't even get like a single cut correct of Mark Rowe talking about Tiger.
Han McDavid.
Meanwhile, like Alex picking up the rear, sending us audio. Next after that, a tie between Below the Belt and Chopping It Up. At 21%.
Tie for favorite?
At 21%. And then we got Neighborhood Watch at 14, Best and Worst at 9, and then High Low and Junk Drawer tied at 7. Now, this was where I was kind of fascinated to see who was going to say they had a least favorite segment, because most people just said, don't have one. Like all the segments, none of them bug me. Other people would just maybe say, I'm mad at the Cowboys. Anytime you talk Cowboys, that kind of thing. So we got far fewer answers. So it's a smaller sample size here on least favorite segment. But the number one... least favorite segment, according to this. High Low, 18%.
Whoa! Wow. What a stunner.
Wow.
Which, okay. To be fair, this will kind of show you the breakdown of how many more responses we got. I think we got like five or six answers of people saying High Low was their favorite, and that added up to 7%. On the least favorite segment, I think we got five people saying it was their least favorite, and that added up to 18%. So that shows the sample size.
Why do you think that is?
That it's their least favorite?
Yeah.
The
sports match got destroyed like in these types of discussions. I hated sports
somebody
match.
Somebody did text it. Somebody said, I want you to bring sports match back. That was some feedback.
Why do you think High Low would get disliked? And text us, 877-881-1053.
They might just not like games. They might just... maybe they don't like Bobby and the way he approaches it, or my outright dominance and arrogance in the subject. And I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's a fun game. Yeah. It's a good little breakup. We generally keep it pretty sportsy.
Yes.
Number two on this list of least favorite segment, though, is also number two on our list of most favorite segment. It's the payload at 15%.
You know what? That hurt a little bit.
No. Alec, good job voting.
Alec voted on that one.
Alec voted.
You have reached the perfect.
Yep.
That's the goal. Yep. You don't want to be loved, and you don't want to be hated. You want to be both. You've reached it,
man.
Polarizing.
That's the goal.
Peyton Rising.
Yes, hey, young man.
Polarizing.
Peyton got a lot of in the general feedback section of this survey that we did. There were at least four or five responses that were taken issue with. Y'all stay away from my boy Peyton. Y'all kick Peyton in the stomach nuts. Too often.
Yeah,
like knock
we'll
it
say
off.
Nuts.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Like knock it off. Give our guy a break there. So there were a lot of people. Now I know Peyton. You have said you know that you have some haters because you see one on the fan text every time you do your segment, right?
I do. Yeah, the 817 does not like the payload.
Why not?
He calls it the payloaf.
Like you're like
he texts in every
mailing it in
at 6:35 when you tease the payload, he'll say, "All right, checking out."
Why you know? Though? Why do you think? Why does he say?
I've asked it. He won't respond. So,
okay. A lot of people saying bring make ask Reddit to move it to Friday.
No, not add it to Friday.
Yeah, add it to Friday. Junk drawer at 9:20 on Fridays, and ask Reddit at 7:20 or life hacks at 7:20. But a lot of people on the high low can't take away high low. I like high low. High low goes hard. High low's a no. Have a caller high low. High low's criminally underused. Love high low.
Yeah,
I think it's just clues are not great. That's Peyton's fault.
See, that's that. I mean, yeah.
I think your clues are fine.
What we could take away from that is that both of those are technically Peyton's segments, and they're the two most hated. Is how I would take away from that. This is the Sean and RJ Your Appreciated Survey for 2024. It's where we solicit some free feedback from the listeners, just things they like to see on the show, things they like about the show, things they don't, and the least favorite. There's a lot of Cowboys apathy. There's a lot of people, or not even apathy, anger. Because there are people texting going like, my least favorite segment is anytime you guys talk about the Cowboys right now. I don't want to hear about them. Tired of them.
But we also got criticism that it was too much NBA, which I'm probably guilty of. But we were in the NBA Finals.
See, that's the
Yeah, you had to.
The thing about it is when we asked
what you... And I enjoyed it. Like, yes, we force feed things. We all talk things that we have to force feed because I feel like it's important that you want to hear about it. I'm not as passionate that day in that topic. I was all in with the NBA, but we got a couple responses saying too much NBA.
Yeah, and it was never in the question of what's your least favorite segment. It never came up there. It always came in like a general feedback, but we had three replies in a row at one point that I was sorting through and stacking up that had said just too much basketball. I don't want to talk so much basketball. Hmm. So let's go to the general. Oh, one last note here. I had a hard time stacking this one. Was we got an answer that said crosstalk a few times as their least favorite.
Ooh.
But you could tell by the way they described it that some people were talking about our crosstalks with other cities and other people were talking about our crosstalk like at 9:40. Mm. And so there were other people who just said crosstalk and nothing else. And I don't know which one they were referring
crosstalk
to.
Crosstalk has always in our rating stuff gone. Is this good or bad that we're doing this out loud?
I think
it's good. I think it shows like we want the feedback. We apply the feedback. And, you know, we it is 105.3 The Fan. I know you have other hosts in town who are more worried about what celebrities and athletes, what rear end they can kiss. They go to sleep at night saying, are they cool with me in the Rolodex? We actually, like, know where the bread is buttered. That is with you listening, with your time investment. I think this is a good way to talk about that. But the crosstalk has always gone, like, and our rating system is freaking stupid anyway, so it's hard to take a lot from it. But sometimes the crosstalk numbers have been through the roof and sometimes they've been down. And yeah. I would think that they'd be high consistently with all of us getting together and BSing. I've never understood like the downturn at the crosstalk.
Right.
Unless, of course, the only thing that would make sense is they hate Kevin and Corey.
Yeah.
Which they do.
Yeah.
Which obviously what it is.
Yeah. I think that's clear because the Friday crosstalk numbers are always great.
Because you can't hate Mike.
It's Monday through Thursday.
You can't hate Mike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike's a genius.
Yeah, we never know if Mike's going to talk or not. So it's like a 50-50 right. proposition.
Couple quick quotes that we'll finish this off with in the feedback area. This one I liked. This was what it said, what's your favorite segment? This guy wrote and he said, my life hack is I don't watch sports. He said, in the past year, the only sports I actually watched on TV was the Super Bowl. I listen to 105.3 so I can talk sports with coworkers and whatnot without having to actually invest any real time in watching sports.
Oh.
Strange, I know, but I guess if I had to pick a segment, it'd be Ask Reddit. It's usually pretty funny.
That's cool.
So you get the answer there. And then this is the one that I think maybe hit y'all in the feels a little bit when I sent you what he wrote. He said, this gentleman said, bought this house in 2011, shortly after my divorce, and it was one of those radio intercom systems that were popular back in the 70s. Every year of seeing my kids in the morning, he's alone now, and he says he's alone a lot in the morning. He said, I started listening to the old New School, and it really kept me company on some lonely mornings, so thanks for that.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That is what it's about.
Those intercom systems were cool. I never had one.
I have one. My parents still have it.
They still have it?
I don't think it doesn't work, but I used to think it was the most badass thing.
I never lived in a place with one. I always wanted my parents to get one. Yeah, I know. I was like,
oh, sorry, that violates one of the comments we got. Said their least favorite thing was fake laughing. You guys are guilty of fake laughing all the time.
At least I am.
I think we're guilty of fake laughing sometimes in interviews, but not with each other. We call each other on the fake laughing. I call everyone out on the fake laughing.
I'm hilarious.
We will definitely go on interviews, though.
Yeah, you guys laugh a lot.
Let's cross talk. Thank you all for the feedback. And Bobby, thank you for putting it all together.
You betcha.
This guy, his charts.
What he did last night
with that Cowboys guest list for training camp, I was blown away.
Blown away.
Most likely to laugh, most likely to... he broke it down. We'll talk about it in Oxnard. Let's crosstalk and figure out how the outage hit. The KNC Masterpiece, next.
Welcome to the greatest crosstalk in the world. The world has spoken.
One listener.
The greatest crosstalk in the world, where we are close to curing cancer.
Huh.
Are we really?
Okay. I don't know. I heard that last night.
Really?
So,
okay.
Oh, I thought you were saying your crosstalk is close to doing
I don't know.
That.
Maybe I could do that, too. I was like,
the best doctors.
It was interesting last night watching the debate. There's no sports on.
I don't know. There was some summer league going, baby.
No, I'm not.
Bronny again, baby. Bronny's breaking out.
13.
Oh, is he finally hitting puberty?
He shot 50% from the field.
I'm just saying, he's playing some efficient ball
now. Had a nice lefty layup.
You heard my shot, right?
He didn't hear
my shot. I said, is he hitting puberty? Is he finally going to grow?
Oh, come on, man.
How long did you watch last night? I tried. I wanted to. I couldn't.
The debate thing?
Yeah.
Or not the debate thing, but the Republican National Convention thing?
Yeah. Did you make it to the end of Trump's speech?
I can't, because I had no plans on watching it yesterday. But I did. I watched all of Hulk Hogan. I watched Dana White.
What you gonna do, brother?
And then I think I watched all of Donald Trump. I was just sitting there on the couch. I was kind of the multitasking thing. Kevin believes he can do this, which it's humanly impossible. He's like, I can do two things at once. I can watch two things at one time. I'm like, no. Doctors have come along and said, like, if you're on your phone, you can have the TV on, but literally your attention has to go to one or the other. You can keep switching your attention. But Kevin's like, no, I'm the greatest man in the world who can be on my phone, computer, and television and all give it 100% at the same time. I'm like, no, literally doctors have said you can't. Like, I could, if I'm looking at my computer and concentrating on that, it's very tough for me to engage in a discussion with you because my attention has gone to what I'm reading or seeing on my computer. So I'm multitasking. I'm doing two things, but my attention has to be on one thing at a time. I can't devote 100% attention to both things at the same time. But Kevin believes he is the person who can.
Okay. I think I'm pretty good at multitasking.
You generally are.
It drives me nuts when I feel like no one in the station can look at their cell phone and read the text. Do you do this, Reggie, when you're hosting? Do you check your phone a ton or you're like 10, 15 minutes between responses if someone hits you up?
I try and check my phone, but also I try and be more present. I'm cognizant of the fact that I want to not look at someone when they're talking to me. And I realize that communication works better if you're looking to them, even though like I feel like I can do it without that. So I try and be present and force myself away from that. But I also, and Choppy, you've probably seen this when you come in the mornings, I also have the text
18
line
different things up there.
And the Twitch and the YouTube up at the same time. So I'm keeping track of all of those.
And if I could ever figure out picture in picture, which I've been dying to do, I can never figure it out on any TV, then I would put Kevin's test in theory.
Just buy multiple TVs.
Well,
do that.
Wait on my contract.
Huh?
But then I would test the watching two things at once.
He also has no girlfriend or wife.
Yeah.
Reggie, I don't
call
think there's very few women who are going to be like, in our living room, I want two TVs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
Whenever we do the picture-in-picture thing, because I have it, Sean, whenever I do the picture-in-picture, I can't focus on, it's impossible. I have to be watching one. Like, I tried for a little while to have the commentary up on the one that I wasn't watching and watch the other, and that made it even worse.
Can you do commentary on one and subtitles on the other?
Yeah.
So I'm like listening to commentary and then reading the other?
If you need to.
I mean, that seems like it's just another added layer.
He's asking, can you have the capability of it?
No.
Yes.
Because I just said I couldn't just even watch a game.
No, like, can the TVs do it? Or are you asking, can Bobby do it?
Yeah, it'll have captioning on it.
Back to you, Mike.
Oh, sorry. For me, like, because I do try and watch multiple things at once, especially like you talk about football or those times of the year. One thing that I do, and it's kind of insane, but I've gotten a little comfortable with it, is I'll have the volume up on both. And I'll just kind of focus.
What?
I'll focus on whichever one I want to hear at that moment. And then you kind of throw your attention there as Mike talks
about. That sounds like the worst thing in the world. As Bobby was just talking very loudly during the break and RJ was walking out.
What are you talking about?
Asking me a question. I was like, I can't hear you. I'm not going to try to hear you.
You can't even do it when we're like, if Bobby and Kevin are talking, I look at your face and you're getting so, you cut your eye to Bobby where you're like, you're not going to try to talk to RJ. You can't do the crossing conversations. No. And my wife, it's a medical ailment with multiple sounds. I heard someone talk about, there's a medical term for it. And this is my wife. Like, we used to get in fights when I'm like trying to do prep on the computer and the TV's on and I'm like listening to a press conference. She has to leave the room. So I think you have that.
You're an only child, right?
So I just do it.
I have two younger sisters.
You have two younger sisters. Okay. Definitely for me, the loudly talking before, that is, I grew up with 9 kids. And like you had to, if you wanted to be heard, it was, you were having to bark over the other.
So I'm going to relate last night to, let's say, Dallas Cowboys, DallasCowboys.com. I'm not taking a shot at DallasCowboys.com, but they have a job to do. They are one of the few team websites that will be at times critical of the team. So I'm not saying that they are 100% pro Dallas Cowboys all of the time. But I just can't imagine the Dallas Cowboys website going how horrible this is, how we're going to lose, and there's no chance. Last night after the debate was over, I'm on CNN, and CNN is the Democrat station. Everybody knows that. If you're a Democrat, you're like, no, it's fair. No, it's Democrat. And just like Fox is 100% Republican. Yeah. Like, they're not fair and balanced. But what's amazing
not
to
Republican
me,
enough.
I keep going over to CNN, and they are, I've just never seen this, in the middle of this kind of race and everything, they're like, our guy stinks. Can you believe this? This is horrible. Like, we have the worst. We're going to lose. And I can't believe it. Like, I keep going.
They're saying that about Biden?
Yeah, they're like, they are pro pushing out Biden on CNN.
Yeah.
And I'm just surprised that, I just can't believe if the Cowboys make the playoffs this year, let's say, and they're playing a team that they're on the road and they're a 5-point underdog.
Yeah.
If all of DallasCowboys.com and their podcast or anything, like, we're done, we're finished, we have no chance, what are we doing? Like, they're going to at least give you a lot of the positive side of it. And CNN has totally like thrown in the towel and gone like, we're finished if Joe Biden runs this race.
This is just my perception and probably really dumb topic, and I don't like to get in trouble at the end of my weeks and enjoy my weekend.
All right.
I don't think CNN, I agree with you. CNN is anti-Trump, but I don't think CNN is as married to their side as like Fox is. Like, I could see CNN saying more negative things about Biden than I ever could Fox saying negative things about Trump. Is MSNBC the equivalent of Fox?
I think that would probably be the way.
Is MSNBC like the, I never watch MSNBC.
MSNBC is the
They're like the Fox equivalent.
Of the left.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And CNN is like definitely anti-Trump, but they're not as like biased as Fox is towards Trump.
Yeah, I don't think CNN.
But yeah, there was Vance, is that his name?
Van
Jones?
Yeah. Van.
Yeah, Van Jones. I really like him. And he was almost in tears after the Biden
debate.
That's how devastated he was being on the Democratic side.
Yeah.
And then the David Axelrod, I think he was definitely a Democratic advisor.
He's Obama.
I could see his blood pressure when they have like the two Republican presences now that they put on there, the two white guys, the bald guy, and then the other one who was doing the Hulkamania impression. That David Axelrod's like that old school Democrat who had to be, getting ready to drop dead when Kid Rock was up there along with Dana White and Hogan.
Like CNN clearly, like I could see them.
It pains them that like Trump is taking over,
yeah,
and that the Republican National Convention was like an arena, like a World Series atmosphere.
They didn't. It was like a WWE event, really, and like
yeah,
I could see that. Like they don't like their issue. I don't think is necessarily with Republican Party. It's with Trump.
Yeah.
So I don't think they would ever side with Trump. Like, I think if it was another candidate, like Rubio or DeSantis or whoever, I could see them, you know, moving their position a little bit.
But yet, when I flip between the two, CNN has Trump on more often than when I flip the Fox, because they're like, they know that he's the ratings. I'm not watching news television if Donald Trump's not involved. Now, that doesn't mean I love him, that I support him. It's just like choppy. That's the entertainment for me. And CNN goes back to the Trump well, I think, more times per day. I don't know. I don't watch enough to be able to say it factually. But they're like, we may dislike him, but we know who the cash cow is. That's my take.
Yeah, I'm just trying to fight myself from actually using the words Overton window during the course of this and going like full poli-sci on it, which that would be a very dork thing to do.
Yeah, here it goes. Yeah. I don't even know what that is. I don't either.
Educate us.
So the Overton window is basically like the span of your political ideology scale, right? And when we talk about left and right, that's a basic callback to the Overton window. And the thing that is really interesting, because the text line is responding to the idea of, well, CNN is left, or no, it's not, right? Like, I think ultimately, the thing that I find interesting is like the way that obviously we're going to be American centric because that's where it is. That's where we are, I should say. It's kind of funny because like the American Overton window is shifted actually more to the right than like internationally. And so that's something I keep thinking about. But again, nobody wants to hear that, right? Like, right. Nobody cares.
Last thing on this. I don't know when the Democratic National Convention is.
Neither do they.
Next month.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good. I was thinking, what a perfect time to do your convention during All-Star Week of the MLB, when there's no football, no basketball, no baseball for the most part.
Yes.
So, like, for me, I wouldn't have watched it last night. If, let's just say, Thursday night football was on, even though I'm not even sure what channel that comes on anymore.
Prime Video, baby.
There you go. But I was just like, gosh, like, there's literally, for me, nothing to change to right now.
Yes. Did the outage hit you guys today or this morning?
I had no clue till I turned on the television this morning and they're like, there's a massive power outage and people around the country can't fly anywhere and everything. I was like, so this happened because they were having a update on their computers?
Mike, we don't know why it happened.
Wow.
Dun, 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 dun.
Coming up next, the KNC masterpiece.
Yeah.
We do not have any politics on the run sheet. So
we do have Kevin Von Erich, though.
Destroy our show.
Yeah, buddy. Kevin in studio.
Without Kevin Hagelin?
That's right.
Without shoes either. He's always barefoot. And he's in whitey tighties. Next.
Have a good weekend.
Welcome to the greatest crosstalk in the world. The world has spoken.
One listener.
The greatest crosstalk in the world, where we are close to curing cancer.
Huh.
Are we really?
Okay. I don't know. I heard that last night.
Really?
So,
oh, okay.
Oh, I thought you were saying your crosstalk is close to doing
I don't know.
That.
Maybe I could do that too. I was like,
the best doctors.
It was interesting last night watching the debate. There was no sports on.
I don't know. There was some summer league going, baby.
No, I'm not.
Bronny again, baby. Bronny's breaking out.
13.
Oh, is he finally hitting puberty?
He shot 50% from the field.
I'm just saying, he's playing some efficient ball
now.
Had
a nice lefty layup.
You heard my shot, right? He didn't hear my shot. I said, is he hitting puberty? Is he finally going to grow?
Oh, come on, man.
How long did you watch last night? I tried. I wanted to. I couldn't.
The debate thing?
Yeah.
Or not the debate thing, but the Republican National Convention thing?
Yeah. Did you make it to the end of Trump's speech?
I can't, because I had no plans on watching it
yesterday.
But I did. I watched all of Hulk Hogan. I watched Dana White.
What you gonna do, brother?
And then I think I watched all of Donald Trump. I was just sitting there on the couch. I was kind of the multitasking thing. Kevin believes he can do this, which it's humanly impossible. He's like, I can do two things at once. I can watch two things at one time. I'm like, no, doctors have come along and said, like, if you're on your phone, you can have the TV on, but literally your attention has to go to one or the other. You can keep switching your attention. But Kevin's like, no, I'm the greatest man in the world who can be on my phone, computer, and television and all give it 100% at the same time. I'm like, no, literally doctors have said you can't. Like, I could, if I'm looking at my computer and concentrating on that, it's very tough for me to engage in a discussion with you because my attention has gone to what I'm reading or seeing on my computer. So I'm multitasking. I'm doing two things, but my attention has to be on one thing at a time. I can't devote 100% attention to both things at the same time. But Kevin believes he is the person who can.
I think I'm pretty good at multitasking.
You generally are.
It drives me nuts when I feel like no one in the station can look at their cell phone and read the text. Do you do this, Reggie, when you're hosting? Do you check your phone a ton or you're like 10, 15 minutes between responses if someone hits you up?
I try and check my phone, but also I try and be more present. I'm cognizant of the fact that I want to not look at someone when they're talking to me. And I realize that communication works better if you're looking to them, even though like I feel like I can do it without that. So I try and be present and force myself away from that. But I also, and Choppy, you've probably seen this when you come in the mornings, I also have the text
18
line
different things up there.
And the Twitch and the YouTube up at the same time. So I'm keeping track of all of those.
And if I could ever figure out picture in picture, which I've been dying to do, I can never figure it out on any TV, then I would put Kevin's test in theory.
Just buy multiple TVs.
Well, wait on my contract. But then I would test the watching two things at once.
He also has no girlfriend or wife.
Yeah.
Reggie, I don't
call
think there's very few women who are going to be like, in our living room, I want two TVs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
Whenever we do the picture-in-picture thing, because I have it, Sean, whenever I do the picture-in-picture, I can't focus on, it's impossible. I have to be watching one. Like, I tried for a little while to have the commentary up on the one that I wasn't watching and watch the other, and that made it even worse.
Can you do commentary on one and subtitles on the other?
Yeah.
So I'm like listening to commentary and then reading the other.
If you need to.
I mean, that seems like it's just another
He's
added
asking,
layer.
Can you have the capability of it?
No.
Yes.
Because I just said I couldn't just even watch
a
game.
No, like, can the TVs do it? Or are you asking Bobby do it?
Yeah, it'll have captioning on it.
Back to you, Mike.
Sorry. For me, like, because I do try and watch multiple things at once, especially like you talk about football or those times of the year. One thing that I do, and it's kind of insane, but I've gotten a little comfortable with it, is I'll have the volume up on both. And I'll just kind of focus.
What?
I'll focus on whichever one I want to hear at that moment. And then you kind of throw your attention there as Mike talks
about. That sounds like the worst thing in the world. As Bobby was just talking very loudly during the break and RJ was walking out.
What are you talking about?
Asking me a question. I was like, I can't hear you. I'm not going to try to hear you.
You can't even do it when we're like, if Bobby and Kevin are talking, I look at your face and you're getting so, you cut your eye to Bobby where you're like, you're not going to try to talk to RJ. You can't do the crossing conversations. No. And my wife, it's a medical ailment with multiple sounds. I heard someone talk about, there's a medical term for it. And this is my wife. Like, we used to get in fights when I'm like trying to do prep on the computer and the TV's on and I'm like listening to a press conference. She has to leave the room. So I think you have that.
You're an only child, right?
So I just do it.
I have two younger sisters.
You have two younger sisters. Okay. Definitely for me, the loudly talking about that is, I grew up with nine kids and like you had to, if you wanted to be heard, it was, you were having to bark over the other.
So I'm going to relate last night to, let's say, Dallas Cowboys, DallasCowboys.com. I'm not taking a shot at DallasCowboys.com, but they have a job to do. They are one of the few team websites that will be at times critical of the team. So I'm not saying that they are 100% pro Dallas Cowboys all of the time, but I just can't imagine the Dallas Cowboys website going how horrible this is, how we're going to lose, and there's no chance. Last night after the debate was over, I'm on CNN, and CNN is the Democrat station. Everybody knows that. If you're a Democrat, you're like, no, it's fair. No, it's Democrat. And just like Fox is 100% Republican.
Yeah.
Like, they're not fair and balanced. But what's amazing
not
to
Republican
me,
enough.
I keep okay. going over to CNN, and they are, I've just never seen this, in the middle of this kind of race and everything, they're like, our guy stinks. Can you believe this? This is horrible. Like, we have the worst. We're going to lose. And I can't believe it. Like, I keep going
to that they're saying that about Biden?
Yeah, they're like, they are pro pushing out Biden on CNN.
Yeah.
And I'm just surprised that I just can't believe if the Cowboys make the playoffs this year, let's say, and they're playing a team that they're on the road and they're a 5-point underdog.
Yeah.
If all of DallasCowboys.com and their podcast or anything, like, we're done, we're finished, we have no chance, what are we doing? Like, they're going to at least give you a lot of the positive side of it. And CNN has totally, like, thrown in the towel and gone, like, we're finished if Joe Biden runs this race.
This is just my perception and probably really dumb topic, and I don't like to get in trouble at the end of my weeks and enjoy my weekend.
All right.
I don't think CNN, I agree with you. CNN is anti-Trump, but I don't think CNN is as married to their side as like Fox is. Like, I could see CNN saying more negative things about Biden than I ever could Fox saying negative things about Trump. Is MSNBC the equivalent of Fox?
I think that would probably be the way.
Is MSNBC like the, I never watch MSNBC.
MSNBC is the
they're like the Fox equivalent.
Of the left,
Yeah, you're right about that.
And CNN is like definitely anti-Trump, but they're not as like biased as Fox is towards Trump.
Yeah, I don't think CNN.
But yeah, there was Vance, is that his name?
Van
Jones?
Yeah. Van.
Yeah, Van Jones. I really like him. And he was almost in tears after the Biden
debate.
That's how devastated he was being on the Democratic side.
Yeah.
And then the David Axelrod, I think he was definitely a Democratic advisor.
He's Obama.
I could see his blood pressure when they have like the two Republican presences now that they put on there, the two white guys, the bald guy, and then the other one who was doing the Hulkamania impression. That David Axelrod's like that old school Democrat who had to be getting ready to drop dead when Kid Rock was up there along with Dana White and Hogan.
CNN clearly, like, I could see them.
It pains them that, like, Trump is taking over and that the Republican National Convention was like an arena, like a World Series atmosphere.
They didn't, it was like a WWE event, really. And, like, I could see that, like, they don't, like, their issue, I don't think, is necessarily with Republican Party, it's with Trump.
Yeah.
So I don't think they would ever side with Trump. Like, I think if it was another candidate, like Rubio or DeSantis or whoever, I could see them, you know, moving their position a little bit.
But yet, when I flip between the two, CNN has Trump on more often than when I flip the Fox, because they're like, they know that he's the ratings. I'm not watching news television if Donald Trump's not involved. Now, that doesn't mean I love him, that I support him. It's just like choppy. That's the entertainment for me. And CNN goes back to the Trump well, I think, more times per day. I don't know. I don't watch enough to be able to say it factually. But they're like, we may dislike him, but we know who the cash cow is. That's my take.
Yeah, I'm just trying to fight myself from actually using the words Overton window during the course of this and going like full poli sci on it, which that would be a very dork thing to do.
Yeah, here it goes. Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
I don't either. Educate us.
So the Overton window is basically like the span of your political ideology scale, right? And when we talk about left and right, that's a basic callback to the Overton window. And the thing that is really interesting, because the text line is responding to the idea of, well, CNN is left, or no, it's not, right? Like, I think ultimately, the thing that I find interesting is like the way that obviously we're going to be American centric because that's where it is. That's where we are, I should say. It's kind of funny because like the American Overton window is shifted actually more to the right than like internationally. And so that's something I keep thinking about. But again, nobody wants to hear that, right? Like, nobody cares.
Last thing on this. I don't know when the Democratic National Convention is.
Neither do they.
Next month.
Okay,
so that's good. I was thinking, what a perfect time to do your convention during All-Star Week of the MLB, when there's no football, no basketball, no baseball for the most part.
Yes.
So, like, for me, I wouldn't have watched it last night. If, let's just say, Thursday night football was on, even though I'm not even sure what channel that comes on anymore.
Prime Video, baby.
There you go. But I was just like, gosh, like, there's literally, for me, nothing to change to right now.
Yes. Did the outage hit you guys today or this morning?
I had no clue till I turned on the television this morning and they're like, there's a massive power outage and people around the country can't fly anywhere and everything. I was like, so this happened because they were having a update on their computers?
Mike, we don't know why it happened.
Wow.
Dun, 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 dun.
Coming up next, the KNC Masterpiece.
Yeah.
We do not have any politics on the run sheet. So
we do have Kevin Von Erich, though.
Destroy our show.
Yeah, buddy. Kevin in studio.
Without Kevin Hagelin?
That's right.
Without shoes either. He's always barefoot. And he's in whitey tighties. Next.
Have a good weekend.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.